Well, all right, here we are once again at Pastor B's kitchen table. You know, this is the place we break it down, chop it up, and put it back together again. And for the past month, I've been dealing with you, trying to introduce you to the world that there are missionaries, people who look like us of African descent, who God has all around this world who are promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples. And I want to bring before you today, kitchen table audience, I want to bring you Pastor Keith Jefferson. A man who has done a lot of great work in Brazil, along with his wife, Deborah. So, Pastor Jefferson, will you say hello to the kitchen table and tell us who you are?
Hello, I'm Keith Jefferson, served with the International Mission Board and worked with the Quilombolas of Brazil.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Jefferson, tell us, if you would, about the Quilombos in Brazil. Tell us the story, so some of us have never even heard about the Quilombos in Brazil.
Well, here's the thing, Pastor Hamilton. Slavery was three times greater in Brazil than it was in America. And it's said to have been more cruel in Brazil than it was in America. And there were many slaves that were able to run out of slavery. So these Quilombolas are descendants of runaway slaves that ran out in the bush, and they used to be called maroon villages. Now they call Quilombolas because the people are called the villages are called Quilombos that they live in, and they're called Quilombolas. And when they ran away past Hampton, they ran away. The ran away. And they actually started had a region of villages that worked together. And they had been tried. They had been There were 66 different battles that came their way, and they were able to resist 66 battles with the Portuguese and Dutch. So finally, the Portuguese said, "We're going to get some what do you call mercenaries?" That's what they did. They got a few hundred mercenaries, and they tracked the Quilombo main villages down, and they spreaded them out. They brought many of them in, but they spreaded them out, and now there are Quilombo villages in at least 21 of the 26 states of Brazil, if you're counting the. See, they've got Brasoria. They have like the capital, but it's considered like Washington, D.C., almost like a state. So there are approximately 26 states of Brazil.
Brazil. People never heard that before.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Pastor Jefferson, how did you end up as a missionary, you and your wife, Deborah, in Brazil?
That's a good question. Because my wife and I was minding our own business. I was pastoring the church that Deborah and I started at 3 years old. And I was a chaplain. So I was bivocational pastor. And I was a chaplain of a state facility, Fort Worth State School in Fort Worth, Texas. And we went to a missionary appointment service in Fort Worth, Texas. And we had one of our seminary students and his wife that were being appointed to Ukraine, to Kyiv, Ukraine, where all this war has been going on, interestingly enough. So Deborah and I went to see Mick and Delise Stockwell's appointment service. And while we were there, we ran into a man by the name of David Cornelius. And David Cornelius was the Black church mobilizer for missions, international missions, the Black Church person for the mission board. And so he said, "Keith, I understand that you are a church planter." He said, "Would you be open to planting churches on foreign soil?" I said, "Well, yeah, if God wanted me to, if God, I mean, like, if God."
You got no God doing it. That's right.
And I'm thinking, Pastor Hamilton, I'm thinking, I've got four daughters. I told the guy I've got four. And now he's talking about me going overseas to plant a church. He's like, I'm going to take up my four little nap-head girls, yeah. 13, 11, 97, one of their ages when we arrived at the Ville, and let some maniac in the jungle kill one of them, you know.
Yeah.
And so the Lord said, Keith, who took care of your children when you had them in Houston, Texas? I said, well, you did. He said, well, if I can take care of them in the crazy Houston, Texas, I can take care of them in Brazil.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And so he told us about Brazil. He said, Keith, there are many people of African origin in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And Brazilians are very friendly people. They're very festive. They're very social. I said, well, I'm a socializer. He said, they love music. I said, well, I love music.
Yeah.
He said, they love to eat. I said, well, just look at me. I love to eat.
Yeah.
And they're just really friendly people until they drive, you know.
Yeah.
They're famous for their driving on Formula One, you know.
Yeah.
So we prayed about it. And he said, Keith, he said, Brazil needs somebody like you. And we prayed about it, and we talked with him some more. And when we talked with him again, I had a personal interview with him. I said, God, show me a person of another country. Mm-hmm. And if it be China or whatever, because we had kind of prayed through it and felt like this was what God wanted for our lives.
Wow.
And so, Lord, show me a person from another country. And Brother Hamilton, the next day, I attended the graduation of this same person who was appointed as a missionary at Mick Stockwell. We had another seminary student on our staff, that volunteer staff that was graduating also. Mm-hmm. And so after graduation of the seminary, Southwestern Seminary, I went to the school. Why? Mm-hmm. To go to the library to look up some books about missions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ghost town. And I should have known that because it's after graduation. It was a ghost town.
Right.
But there was one person, Pastor Hamilton.
Wow.
Walking down the sidewalk. One person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, man, is the library open? He said, yeah, it's open. He said, hey, I think I know you. I said, yeah, I remember seeing you at seminary, too. And he said, what's your name? I said, I'm Keith Jefferson. I said, he said, Keith, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm a bivocational church planner.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, I'm Heron, Tom Heron. And he said, I'm a missionary to Brazil.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, you a missionary where?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm a missionary to Brazil. Well, I just heard about Brazil, and you may be the answer to my prayer. I said, can I take you to your home? He said, yeah. He said, Keith, Brazil is a very friendly place in many mm-hmm. ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the people love music. And he told me the same thing that David said. He said, they love music. They're very social. They just very friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, boy, that sounds great. And so I said, I need to pray about it because I think God may be leading me there. He said, well, good, Keith, we'll be praying with you.
Yeah.
So now this David had told me about Brazil earlier, but mm-hmm. he also mentioned another place, and that was Ankara, Turkey.
Yeah.
Now, Ankara, Turkey, that was a retired chaplain that was pastoring an international church. Expatriates, just people from all over the country, representatives, various people serving at the church.
Right.
So he told me that, Keith, he said, they need you in Brazil, but Turkey could use you also. So when I went home, after I met with Tom.
Right.
I had a friend of mine to visit me from Syracuse, New York.
Yeah.
And he said, Keith, He said, I have a femme of a church that is like your church, a diverse international type of church. And it's from Turkey. I said, is it in the capital? He said, yeah. He said, I said, is it pastored by a retired military chaplain? He said, yeah, how did you know? I said, somebody told me about this church. Pastor Bobby, it was incredible that somebody out of the blue, who set up missile radar all over the world, came to my house the same day that I met with Aaron, who told me about Brazil. He came 5 hours later to my house to show me a tape about Brazil. I was blown away. Wow. It was unbelievable. The same day after I talked with him. David Cornelius had talked to me earlier, and then I met him at the library, and then 5 hours later, a friend of mine from Syracuse, New York, who lived in Australia, lived in the Micronesian Islands, and he just came out of the blue to see me and said he had a tape about that reminded me of his church, because my his daughter was attending my church, and she was preparing to be a missionary with the translators, the Bible translator.
Wycliffe.
Right.
Yeah.
She and her husband served with Wycliffe translators. And so he was just dropped by the scene out the blue the same day that I spoke with the missionary from Brazil. And I said, God, I know that's that's unbelievable crazy. And I said, we'll go to Brazil. So we took our daughters, 13, 11, 9, and 7, to Brazil. And we arrived there in June of 95. And we had to learn the lesson, learn the Portuguese.
Yeah.
And the devil said, you ain't going to make it. You were in the church. Your church loved you. The people loved you. Had a diverse, beautiful church. And now you come here. You can't even go to the restroom. I mean, you can't hardly do anything. You're like a little child.
Yeah.
But God helped us, and he gave us a family, a Brazilian family, that we spent most of our weekends visiting and fellowshipping with. And the way you learn the language is just be with the people whose language you're learning. And that's how you learn it. And the Mormons showed many other missionary organizations, that was one of the best way, being with the people. Try to be with your own people, Americans, spending time with Americans, you never learn the language.
Right. So, Pastor, how receptive were the Brazilians to the gospel?
They were very receptive. The Quilombola people, we have to start with the very simple things of the scripture. God is the creator.
Yeah.
And the he created the world. He created this earth. He created us, human beings. He is the master designer of the universe. And we were said there's no other power. We would read the scriptures about how Jesus healed the sick, how Jesus cast out demons. And by the way, spiritism is very great in Brazil.
Yeah.
Spiritism came through Africa. And when the many slaves that were brought into Africa, then spiritism started throughout Africa through some of the slaves, many of the slaves. And there's heavy demonology, heavy demon, demonic powers there. And we pray for the sick, and people have cast, demons have been cast out.
Yeah.
We pray for the sick, and people have been healed because God wants to show the people his power.
Yes.
So it's really amazing. In America, it seems like miracles are so few and far between, but where God is not known, God demonstrates his power, said, I am the only God, the true God
Yeah.
of the universe. And so,
Amen. Amen. What did you encounter as some of your greatest challenges of becoming a missionary in the Quilombos in Brazil?
well, the greatest, first, the greatest challenge was the language,
The
you know.
language, yes.
And but God helped us. Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu seu filho unigênito, para que todo aquele que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha vida eterna. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The devil said, you're not going to make it. You left your church midstream. Here you are, 41 years old, 42 years old, and you think you're going to learn another language? I'm going to send you back to the U.S. You're going to be a failure. You're going to be laughed at because there's no way at 42 years old you're going to learn another language. And so sometimes when we didn't understand what we were receiving in the class, Pastor Bobby, we felt so bad. We even cried.
It was so different.
Say, God, if you don't help us, we're not
Yeah.
going to.
Not gonna make it.
God, help us.
Yeah. Wow, praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And
Wow.
before, you know, we began to use our language 2 months after I was in the school learning. My Brazilian pastor asked me to preach. I said,
Okay.
Pastor, não posso. Pastor, não posso. Pastor, I can't do it. I can't do it. But the Lord told me, go ahead and accept the preaching engagement. And people probably understood half of what I preached, or some understood a fourth, and some maybe none of what I preached. But I preach, and usually you wait about 6 months. If you're learning Spanish or Portuguese or something, then which are not the most difficult languages, but they don't want you to start preaching or speaking until you've been there about a half a year or so. We started 2 months because my Brazilian pastor made me, and across the street, to show you the wonderful God, the power of God, across the street, I mean exactly across the street from my house, we lived in a neighborhood called Paradise, and it was an upper middle class neighborhood that the mission had to grab for me because my visa came in early, and so they grabbed the house in a very nice neighborhood. And across the street from me, but was a man by the name of Antonio Suarez, and would you know that this man was a professor of Portuguese?
Wow.
Yes,
Wow.
and he said, Keith, he said, I've collaborated with this person, you know, and we wrote this book on such and such, and he said, Keith, I've done this. So I said, would you help me with my first sermon? He said, I'd be glad to. He said, can I look at it? He took my paper. He said, no. He said, let me check. He was a writer, so he began to. He just his hand was just running up and down the computer. He was a fast writer, and he began to help me with my messages. And so finally, one day, he spoke English, Portuguese, French, and I said, "This guy, he's a linguist, you know." And so I said, and then what really took me off, really set it off, is he said, "Keith, the young man who wrote your study book," he said, "he was one of my students." I said, "Antonio, who are you? Who are you? Are you like one of the top 5 linguists of Brazil?" Because he supervised PhD students in Portuguese at São Paulo University, and he supervised PhD students. I said, "You're one of the top 5 linguists in Brazil, or something?" He said. He paused. I am. I am. So I went. So I went to class the next day, and I asked my professor. I said, "Hey, there's a man helping me with my Portuguese." He said, "He taught the guy who wrote our study book." And they said, "Are you speaking of Dr. Stone?" Yeah, Antonio is his name, is his first name. Dr. Stone for short. I said, "No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's Dr. Stone." They said, "Well, if he supervised PhD students in Portuguese and he teaches here and there, that's you speaking about Dr. Stone." And sure enough, he was one of the top five linguists of Brazil. And God said, "To help my child with the Portuguese, I'm going to give him one of the best linguists of all Brazil."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's crazy.
That's great.
When we serve a wonderful God,
Welcome to,
He would
yes,
get
sir.
one of the top linguists of Brazil to help
Brazil.
this little child, this little black child.
Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, Pastor. Because you
It's
said
amazing.
yes. You said yes. You went. God, you said you got to hear from God. And God put people along the way to let you know you're hearing from me. And when you got there, what you needed the most, God provided you the best in the country that you were there with him learning. Oh my goodness. I've never heard the story before. I never heard the story. So it is
It
so
was a
encouraging.
lesson of being enabled by God. He called you. You're not able at the time, but He enables us
Yes,
to do
sir.
the job that He calls us.
You know, Pastor, what's been going on back in the Colombo since you've been away?
Well, there have been movements because when we served there just right at 16, 15 years, 9 months, we moved back to headquarters and I began to mobilize churches. Your churches went with me to go out to the Quilombos of Brazil. And a movement started in one that we went to in Ecuador. Now, see, here's the thing, Pastor Hamilton. I didn't even know there were black people in Ecuador. But there are ship descendants of shipwrecked slaves in Ecuador called the Esmeraldas. And there are over a half a million Esmeraldas in Ecuador. And they are descendants of runaway slaves. So I took a group of pastors there. One of them, one from Houston, Pastor Donald Burks, Donald Burks. And we went to Brazil and we saw African Americans, no, Afro Ecuadorians that looked like they just came from Africa. You know, they were African, Afro Ecuadorians. And the little kid was saying, look, he speaks another language. You know, we weren't speaking Spanish, right? I'm saying, now look at you speaking another language. You're not speaking English, you know? And these beautiful Afro Ecuadorians speaking perfect Spanish, which we were just completely unaware. We had heard and we were brought there to work with them, but we just hadn't yet met them, you know. And so in other and many other countries in Brazil, not only Brazil, but in Venezuela, there are Afro Venezuelans, there are Afro in Bolivia, there are Afro Bolivians. There are many other places where slaves were brought, and they have remnants of Afro Africans because of slavery spread it throughout the world by the Portuguese, and other slave traders.
So, Pastor, so someone who's contemplating, whether it's a church or someone that's contemplating that's going into vocational missionary work themselves, what's your word of wisdom to them?
My word of wisdom is for them to be prayerful and look for opportunities to serve the Lord. On mission trips, for an example, since many of your members, I remember Shonda and Chance and who was it? The Clinton's, I forget the name of Clinton's wife. But anyway, there were several people from your church that went and just served with us. And that's the best thing you could do is to go to mission conferences in the States, go to places, meet missionaries. See, here's the strangest thing, Pastor Bobby. Before I met David Cornelius at the appointment service in Fort Worth, where my friend was appointed to Ukraine, Kyiv, Ukraine, I had never met an African American missionary in my life. You say, well, no, I don't understand. No, I'm speaking about an African American who lived in another country for years and
Yes, sir.
spoke another, fluently spoke another language.
That's right.
In 1994, that David Cornelius was the first African American who lived in another country for years who spoke another language fluently. And so we need to have exposure to other missionaries, African American missionaries. We
That's
need that.
powerful.
It needs
Pastor.
that. So exposure is a great thing, and then get the teaching by through in mission conferences, and then experience by going on mission trips.
Have you planned your next trip to the Quilombos?
We are going, my wife and I, on the 25th of October. We're taking our pastor with us from North Carolina. We live in North Carolina now, just outside of Durham, North Carolina. So we're taking our pastor from Crosslink Community Church, and he'll be heading there to see the Quilombos. And the church will probably partner with us as your church has.
Pastor, if I could ask you, do you know whatever happened to Pastor Ochilio?
Chileo.
You remember Ochilio from the? I think he may have pastored. If it wasn't near the Quilombos, he may have been São Paulo. You remember Pastor Ochilio?
I know it, but it probably just the pronunciation that. But Edson, we worked with Edson, who's now still working with nine churches in a Columba church in the region that we were in. But we went to some new territory when you came with us. And it could have been a translator who, that's been 4 or 5 years ago now, man.
Pastor, let me ask you this final question. For those that's watching and listening online, and they feel that they would like to attempt it just to get an opportunity to be exposed to it, to go, what can they expect on that trip?
They can expect, if they were to go with me and Deborah, if you want to make another trip, Pastor Hamilton, to go with us, we take a few people, several people, and we would go and meet people and through an interpreter, share our testimony. The very basic, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have some great gift. All you have to know is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that you can share how you met Christ and the difference of who you used to be and who you are now is the power of the gospel that
Yes,
changes
sir.
lives. And then we have probably opportunities, maybe even to share some physical things like food or water, clean water. There are a number of different things that can be done. You have even filters that clean the dirty water that we've distributed. And it could be beans and rice. We help people for a couple of weeks and give them beans and rice and cooking all. It's such a wide variety of things. You even can hand out sandals, you know, little flip flops. I'm not talking about 5, 6, seven, $2, $3, $1 flip flops, you know, that barefooted kids can use. And they love soccer, you know, bring a few soccer balls and play some soccer. And we always play sports when we go, you know, all the kids and adults, we play sports.
Wow, man. Pastor, I appreciate you so much, and so does the kitchen table audience. What you said was so profound, and that's why we started this podcast focusing on missionaries. We didn't know a lot of missionaries of African descent that have actually gone, lived in another country, learned a different language, adopted a different culture for the kingdom with the gospel and evangelizing, making disciples. I just want to expose the body to what God is doing globally.
Oh,
God's doing the same globally, not just locally. And so to have you here, and you've been doing this for so many years, you and your wife Deborah, we just praise God for what you're doing, my brother. We look forward to partnering together again, because I was telling so many missionaries, it's not about a check anymore, it's about a community. We're trying to build community where we partner together for what God wants to do to us, for the local church and the universal church. So I am so glad. So kitchen table audience, you've heard from Pastor Keith Jefferson. You probably never heard of the Quilombos, how we have ministered to people who were really runaway slaves. And he said when they ran away way back in there. That is so true.
And Pastor Hamilton, may I throw this in?
Yes, sir, please.
The people, the Quilombolas, are, you know, they're Africans,
That's right.
and we are, we have, we are Africans and African Americans, and we shared how we could have been in the same village, but we were separated.
That's right.
And some Africans were taken to South America, and some were taken to North America.
That's right.
And we shared with them, I said, you
Wow.
know, we could be your relatives
That's
from
right.
your
That's right.
tribe. And we really could. We could be, I could be talking to my relative. And they said, wow, man, I got a relative from America. We were
Yeah.
divided. Some went to South Africa, South
Yeah.
America, some went to North America. And they were just blown away by the idea that we were all together at one time. Black people came from Africa, and
Wow.
how we were scattered throughout the world through slavery. And it's just amazing, man. And the thing that I would want to share with anybody that goes, so many people think they don't have a gift. They think they don't have a gift, but their personality, who they are, God could use them, no matter how ungifted they may think they are. What I found, God uses the weakest link sometimes to show his mighty power.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he
He'll
does.
use the weakest link and just blow them away and said, I'm God Almighty. I use whoever I see fit to use.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
Ha!
A big, what a mighty God we serve.
Woo!
Wow.
Good job, man.
Pastor, I praise God for you. Tell your wife, Sister Deborah, I said hello. Thank you for blessing this church, for coming to this table, and just inspiring our hearts to once again to believe in the power of God and what God is able to do. So I
Amen.
thank you. May God bless you. May God keep the kitchen table. Share this. Talk about this. When you see the opportunity to go, sign up for it. But we're trusting God to do even greater things. So may God bless you. May God keep you, Pastor Jefferson. Thank you for your time, my brother. I'll see you
Thank you,
soon.
Pastor
Yes,
Hamilton.
sir.